those of the sponsors, and don't necessarily reflect those of this station or iHeartMedia.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. Join us now to learn ways to begin the path to recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. Learn more at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to the Family Center for Recovery show. And I am your host, Peter Nathan. And thank you for making us a part of your Sunday and this Memorial Day weekend. And today I've got a really, really cool guest. It's a good friend of mine. I've got in the studio with us today, Micah Robbins. And for those of you who know Micah, he's very dynamic, very involved in the community. His position is the Director of Special Projects at the Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition. And I've had the great pleasure of getting to know Micah over the past several months and seeing a lot of the good things that that Micah does for our community. And welcome to the show, Micah.
Good to see you, Peter. It's nice to be here, part of a Sunday. And first and foremost, we want to thank all of those that serve and thank them for their service on this Memorial Day. So if you have someone in your family or someone you know that has served our country so bravely, make sure we not only thank them, but also remember those that we have lost.
Well, thank you, Micah, and appreciate you joining us today for the show. And I know you pretty well, but many of our listeners, if they don't know, if you could maybe kind of fill us in a little bit about your background and your position and some of the things that you're involved with.
Sure. I am the Director of Special Projects for the Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition, and I'm coming up on 5 years next month in that position. I have a long history in the prevention field. I'm actually from the great state of Maine and have been down in Florida now for just over 7 years. But I've worked in the field with prevention. I've worked with at-risk populations such as our youth and those in care. But going way back, and you're at that point in your life, Peter, like, wow, that is a long time ago. But going way back, my degree's in elementary education, and that's where I started my career, not in the classroom, but actually working out in the field with at-risk youth and doing leadership work. And it's taken this long journey here, but I've been doing this great work in the community for a long, long time.
So you've kind of gravitated towards youth and been involved with youth. And what was it that maybe drew you to youth? And what are you seeing as far as some of the things that, as far as, oh, prevention, awareness, things that you'd like to maybe talk about that been involved with there?
Well, I was fortunate enough to have some great mentors as I began my work. And we had the opportunity to build some really dynamic programs that would look at things slightly differently. Early on, if you may recall, prevention work was came out of the Just Say No era, and it wasn't looked upon as something that had a deeper meaning. And really, what we were looking at is how do we educate our children more? Our children are thoughtful and intentional and creative, and you know they're not looking for punishment; they're looking for knowledge. And so we looked at what young people could bring to the table, which is that energy and that willingness and want to be a part of a community. And so we took that and ran with it. We gave them opportunities to get engaged in the community, for them to come up with the solutions to the challenges they faced. And it's interesting is that giving them those opportunities, we didn't even really discuss substances in particular. It was more about all the qualities that we could build in them, such as leadership, communication, listening, empathy, creative thinking, critical thinking skills, all those assets that they will use for the rest of their lives, giving them the opportunity to practice those and put those into action really started to make a difference for these young people in their community. And this isn't just children at risk. This is all kids. All kids face a lot of the same things. So giving them those opportunities and building them up, that's one of the best prevention methods we could find.
And that's the thing about youth is that they're like a sponge as far as if the information is prevented and presented to them, and then they hear it, and there's great awareness that goes a long ways. If you're just joining us, you've tuned in to the Family Center for Recovery show, and I am your host, Peter Nathan, and a brand representative for Family Center for Recovery. And in the studio today with us is my good friend and guest, Michael Robbins, from the director of special project for Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition. And legislation-wise, we've had a lot of things going on. And if you could maybe kind of fill our listeners in as far as a recap, I know there's a lot of questions, a lot of people wanting some clarification. And I know you've been very actively involved in working with and talking to our legislators and leaders and various task force. So if you could maybe fill us in on some of the key ones that we're looking at.
Well, it has been a very busy last few weeks, and the legislative action that has taken place has affected a couple areas of especially our treatment and recovery field. So if you've been reading in the papers, of course you have. We've had some wonderful coverage from our friends at the Palm Beach Post, the Sun Sentinel, et cetera, that there has been a lot of movement in cracking down, if you will, on some of the negative practices and criminal practices, really, that have been happening in the treatment and recovery field. And these bills were a response to that. So House Bill 807, Senate Bill 788, first of all, gave some more teeth to the penalties and the consequences that our state's attorney's office can levy at some of these facilities. And these include increased fines, looking at different levels of felony that can be now enacted. Some of the crimes that were being prosecuted were only misdemeanors, and now that they can be looked at as felonies. So that's a big change. Also looking at some of the practices that were engaged in, some of the marketing practices that basically were under violating the patient brokering laws of the state. And they've really had a great chance to crack down on that. So it's an opportunity to tighten up what is considered an ethical and appropriate marketing practice. That spells that out, and it really gets into the root of some of the issues that were causing problems in the industry.
The one that I think a lot of people out there are wondering is really patient brokering. As far as really what is patient brokering, and what could be illegal about it? So if you could maybe kind of enlighten us a little bit more as far as the specifics of patient brokering and things along those lines.
Well, and again, I'm not the expert, and our legal friends over at the state's attorney's office will speak much more eloquently to it, but I'll certainly give the community insight on it. And what happens, or what has been happening, especially in the treatment field, is that literally individuals that will basically pay people to bring them customers, and not in an advertising sense or a natural marketing environment, but pay per head, which would be a brokering situation. So if someone says, pay me X amount of dollars and I promise to give you X amount of patients, well, that would be a brokering situation. Or someone goes in and offers someone who they see might be in need of services and says, I have something we can do for you, and come see this facility. And then if you come in and bring five of your friends, each of you are going to get X, Y, and Z in compensation or reward. That's brokering as well. So there are a number of ways that it fits underneath that. But basically, anytime you are paying physically, making an arrangement or an agreement for someone to provide patients to you for a fee, that's brokering.
And I think the thing is there are certain people that are involved with this that aren't even aware that it's illegal. And once they find out about it, then it's a matter of, well, who do I contact? Who do I get in contact with? And I know that Dave Ehrenberg's office and Al Johnson have been very instrumental as far as with the Sober Home Task Force and identifying and working with individuals that may be involved with this and find out that it is illegal and they want to do the right thing. So those would be, I guess, some people that they would be able to contact. talking about legislation before we go to break. We're going to be going to break fairly soon here. But as far as some things that might be on your mind legislation-wise, and when we come back from break, we'll talk more about. But what are some things, some key things, positive things that you might see as far as legislation that you might like to talk about today?
Well, I think there are a lot of positives that came out of the legislative agenda here, especially some support, further support for Department of Children and Families. They're the licensing agent for our treatment facilities, and they've been given some more powers to, you know, remove licensure from facilities if they're violating codes and sanctions. Also, they have the chance to get some more support. They've actually brought in some more staff, which they've, you know, been understaffed. They have a great team over there. They do great work, but they have limited resources. So opening up some more resources for DCF so they can continue to do the job that they're doing, I think that was very important. I think the biggest part of this is that it's opened up a public dialogue on these issues. I think there's a lot of questions. There's still a lot of questions to be answered, but there's also a lot of misinformation out there. Some of the legislation, it certainly was a reaction to what the community was feeling about this issue, and it's opened up the dialogue so people have a better understanding. And they also can understand that this epidemic that we're dealing with, which is the reason why you see so much treatment and activity out there, this is a substance epidemic that we have never encountered before. I know in my over 20 years in the prevention field and working in the with these populations and these issues, we are dealing with one of the worst substance epidemics, quite frankly, ever. And I doubt, unfortunately, that it's going to be getting any better anytime soon.
Well, and that's the thing is that from a standpoint, and we'll be talking about this a little bit later in the show as far as treatment and recovery in South Florida, and as far as being able to identify treatment facilities and facilities that are doing the right thing. I think that one of the main things is that when we are looking at treatment is that, you know, you're going to want to have facility that's doing some sort of personalized assessment, you know, before a patient's admitted into treatment, having a team of medical and psychiatric professionals that help determine the best course of action for each family, and each treatment plan that's specialized depending on the assessment is really kind of what you're looking for. I know that that's something that Dr. Robert A. Moran over at Family Center for Recovery and his staff, they adhere to. That's a general practice and a way that work with patients, so things along those lines. The legislation, I know that they're going to be taking a break, I guess, and then going to be starting to get back into talking about some new things that are going to be crafted. And when are they going to be back? And I think, are you, from what I understand, are you going to be joining one of the task force as a member?
Well, we've been part of several of the task forces, of course, through the coalition, and certainly, Peter, where you and I see each other on a regular basis, our Recovery Awareness Partnership, which is our community-based task force at the coalition. But, of course, we're part of the heroin task force, which has been convened by the managing entity, public safety here in Palm Beach County, as well as the Sheriff's Department. But the State's Attorney's Sober Home Task Force, we certainly have had some engagement there and should be joining that group as of July. But the bigger piece is that the next legislative session, they've recessed. I can't remember if they've gone to, if they did an extended session or that's passed, but the next session, they will be bringing these things up again. Quite frankly, we didn't think that we would have had some of these bills pass in this last session, but there were some 11th hour dealings and it got done. Are they perfect bills? Well, no bill is usually perfect, but again, it puts something there on the table. And I think there's some other things out there that they're going to look at, as far as some preventive ways to deal with these issues. Limiting prescriptions of opiates. I think that's going to be very important that they need to revisit.
Excellent.
And some other points along that.
And thank you for joining us. And we're going to be cutting a commercial. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. Find out more about the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook.com/Family Center for Recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. We'll be right back.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more, and it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life, including turning 17.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Well, welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon this Memorial Day weekend. And with me in the studio with the Family Center for Recovery show, and I am your host, Peter Nathan, is a good friend of mine, Micah Robbins. And Micah, we're talking legislation. I know there's a bill we talked about over break that you'd like to go over with our listeners, and I think they'll find very interesting. So if you could please enlighten us.
The Senate Bill 588 that passed, it's not one of the ones that had a lot of the attention, but it's very, very important. And that gives our emergency room personnel and our medical teams the opportunity to collect more data around the overdoses that they're seeing. One of the challenges in this epidemic is that emergency rooms and emergency personnel are just being overwhelmed by the number of people that are overdosing on opiates and synthetic derivatives. It's on everything that's happening out there right now. Data is critical to this, so we can offer the best services so people can be better prepared, and we can respond effectively not only to this epidemic but to any issues that we have coming down the road in the future. So I think that 588 is very, very important. It gives also requires our emergency rooms to have overdose policies and protocols. We have some of the best facilities here in the state. JFK is doing an incredible job. Good Sam is doing an incredible job. St. Mary's doing an incredible job in the face of just overwhelming odds and overwhelming numbers of people that are coming through their doors dealing with overdose issues. And they're seeing a repeat of people, too. We have the ability using Narcan, naloxone, to reverse an opiate overdose. But one of the things that we have a challenge with is what do we do with an individual if once they're reversed, they need support. That's an entry point for services. And if they're out the door, we can't do it. So we have some great initiatives in place. Fire Rescue and the managing entity and the hospitals are working together on a very positive pilot program of how they can initiate services right there at the hospital and follow up with those individuals after. And it's just about wrapping up, and they've shown some great success with that. But, you know, that's a pilot. So what are we going to do for the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of individuals that are coming through the doors with overdoses every month?
Well, and that's the what's encouraging is that identification of program. I know that the program that JFK, the pilot program, it's a very innovative program as far as peer support and you're actually having somebody who is in recovery that's able to connect with somebody that is experiencing difficulties from a substance abuse standpoint, possibly with a co-occurring disorder, mental illness type of disorder, and then working with professionals, with counselors, people that have evidence-based therapy. So I know that it's in its infancy stage. There are positive results with it. It's just really kind of more data as to see how this is going to track and play out. Thank you for joining us, and you're listening for, if you just joined us, the Family Center for Recovery show, and I'm your host, Peter Nathan. We're talking with Micah Robbins. Micah just kind of went over and mentioned various task forces he's involved with and clarified as far as his involvement and things along those lines. And the bill that we're talking about, some other things that you'd like to make aware to our listeners or.
Well, I think that that's, again, one of the key things is educating the public on what they are hearing. So we're talking about data. The other thing is communicating that data. Mm-hmm. And this epidemic with opiates, we look at the graphs and the charts, if you will, and there's a phenomenon we call hockey sticking when something gets really bad, mm-hmm. where the line just takes an abrupt turn up. And between 2014 and 2015, we saw a doubling of overdoses in Florida. We saw a doubling of overdose deaths. And then as the data is coming out from 2015 to 2016, we're seeing that double again, basically. And the early signs of 2017 data, that the increase continues. So this is an epidemic that's affecting all areas of the community, all socioeconomic levels. It doesn't discriminate, and families need to be aware. Community needs to be aware. Certainly, our public officials are now well aware. Palm Beach County has been instrumental in bringing a lot of these things to the forefront. There's been a great push of leadership from the county as far as how to deal with this in our hometown, in our hometowns here in the county and across the region. This is certainly something that's affecting Florida, and it's affecting the entire country. This is an epidemic of just incredible proportions, and we are seeing, you know, in our own county with literally thousands of overdoses, it's overwhelming to all of our services. So this legislation, again, it will help just keep building that story of the need for further services to combat this issue. It's becoming overwhelming.
And that's the area that we need to really, as I understand it, and as far as how Dr. Moran views things, he's a medical director. He believes that families deserve access to good treatment and believes in evidence-based, but it's also medical treatment combined with clinical therapy to treat mental health and substance abuse disorders. And, I mean, over at Family Center, we can treat mental health disorders regardless of whether someone has drug or alcohol associated with it. And it's really, that's the thing, is people getting an understanding that this is a medical health type of what we need to focus in on, and the doctors, getting the doctors more involved, the pilot program that JFK has. I know that Sheriff Snyder up in Martin County, that they're actively watching to see how this program works. So you have law enforcement also partnering up, so to speak, with doctors. And you know, we're starting to see more of that, which is really the only way we're going to be able to solve this is to work together and identifying that it is a medical type of thing that we need to be looking into. So your thoughts, you have something on your mind you'd like to talk about, I know.
Well, there's really two parts to that, too, is that our medical community is a big part of the solution, but it's also been a part of the challenge as well. And by no means is this any indictment of our medical professionals. But the underlying issue to the opiate epidemic is just we have so many legally prescribed opiates floating around. These are extremely powerful drugs, and our physicians are, you know, they equip themselves with the best tools they have to help the needs of their patients. And what we need to do and what we are working towards and where we're seeing momentum is that our physicians are seeking more education. They are understanding what these substances are doing, other ways they can help treat the patients in need. So they're going to be a leader in this solution, because the opiate issue stems from the overuse and overprescribing of these substances. 2013, we had 12,600 overdoses in the state of Florida as a result of legally prescribed opiates. So they're very powerful drugs, and that's one of the issues that we're facing.
And building off what you mentioned earlier as far as prevention, and this is an area that the website, as far as that goes over things like Prescription Drug Task Force, and it talks about as far as the importance of locking up medicines, mm-hmm. and getting parents involved and youth involved and really understanding the dangers as far as what and how addictive opioid and I call them painkillers can actually be. And I know that doctors are becoming more aware of this and pointing this out more when they do prescribe for something, as far as if somebody has their wisdom teeth pulled or they go in and they have something else done medically related. But it's really raising awareness with parents. And I know that your website that with the Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition is a vast wealth of information as far as for people to find out as far as ways that they can become more proactive and that type of thing. Other thoughts?
Well, you can go to pbcsac.org. That's our website. Lots of information there. Also links to other pieces of information too. We have a number of initiatives we have going. We have a partnership with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office as well as Solid Waste Authority with our Pill Drop program. If you go to the website, Operation Pill Drop, website right there. People wonder, what do I do with these extras? You know, I mean, if they're overprescribed and I have extras sitting around, we don't want those sitting in your medicine cabinet. That's a huge access point. So there's over 30 drop boxes across the county. We have the most drop boxes of any county in the country. Most of them are located in our public safety buildings, our sheriff's offices, our local law enforcement offices, as well as Walgreens has installed some in some of their locations. But if you go to our PBC Pill Drop, I believe is the website, you can go through pbcsac.org, and it'll pull up a map, and it's real easy to use. You hit the little shiny pill button, and it'll tell you your closest location, so you're never more than a few miles away from being able to safely drop off and dispose of those substances in your community. And that's a big piece of prevention. We've collected in the last couple of years, before the initiative really got going, it was a few hundred pounds a year. Now with the awareness it's gotten and, again, the great partnerships that are involved, we've collected over 8,000 pounds a year for the last couple of years. And that's a lot of math, Peter, for me to handle, but that's that's quite a few pills. If you look at how big a pill is, we're talking literally millions of these have now been taken out of circulation. So it's very positive, but we have to keep those efforts up. Again, some of these drugs have been miracles for some people, but unfortunately it's been a road to ruin for many others.
That's an excellent program, and when I first heard about it, I was amazed that, and it's an ongoing program. It wasn't one of those programs that just kind of started and then fizzled out. No, this is an ongoing program and something that actively has a tremendous impact as far as reducing the number of painkillers, opioids that are out there that somebody could wind up coming across. And what we've been doing is we've been talking legislation, and what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going to a break here soon. And we appreciate you joining us on your Sunday afternoon this Memorial Day weekend. And what we're going to talk about more is we're going to talk about treatment. We're going to talk about access and various roads that somebody has as far as for treatment. Before we go to commercial break, though, what are some of your thoughts as far as initially on treatment and access and things along those lines?
We have. Obviously, with this epidemic in place, we have the ultimate challenge of finding opportunities for people to get help. We have a public health infrastructure that unfortunately does not have the resources it needs to deal with the overwhelming numbers. We also have a private treatment environment that has capacity, but they're dealing with, again, the challenges that you've been reading about and we've been speaking about this morning. So we have a confluence of factors with a terrible need, but we are have a system that is needs some support as well. So we're going to discuss that a bit further, but we have a lot of work to do as far as creating that effective environment to treating those that need the help at this time.
And that's the thing that's frustrating, because there are so many people who desperately need treatment, want treatment, but it's also having the financial means to do something like that. So we'll be back.
The Family Center for Recovery is the only facility in Florida owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist, Dr. Robert Moran, and he's dedicated his life to helping the people no one else will. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more, and it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life, including turning 17.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that other centers don't, including teens, expectant mothers, patients with mental health issues, or needing a medical detox. Call 855-202-4220.
Well, welcome back, and thank you for joining us on this Sunday afternoon, Memorial Day weekend. And for those of you who are just tuning in, this is the Family Center for Recovery show, and I am your host, Peter Nathan. And in the studio today with me is Micah Robbins, Director of Special Projects at the Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition. And we are talking treatment. We're talking access. And for those that are looking for Micah, could you maybe kind of give us some insight as to some of the things that we're working on and need to be worked on in that area?
Well, first and foremost, for anybody that's dealing with a substance use disorder and the disease of addiction, help is out there. Help is out there. Yes, there are challenges right now, but help is out there. So I can't encourage people enough to... You can even go to our website, pbcsac.org. I mean, every licensed facility that's available is listed there, just right off the DCF list. That's what we have. Do your research, though. And Peter discussed this earlier. If you are reaching out for help, make sure that you are talking to someone with a clinical approach to the situation, not just some number you see online or some number you see on TV late at night. You know, a lot of these are just redirecting people to get to centers that may or may not be the best fit or the most help. Also contacting the county. And one of the things we face is that we are dealing with this huge amount of people that need help. Right now in our country, we have over 26 million people that are dealing with substance use disorders on a daily basis. We don't have even a 10% number of beds to help solve that issue for them. If they all decided today, I need help, get me help, we would be in the worst situation. So we need to not only encourage people to get help, but also make sure we're ready for it. So our public health side of things, they are working very hard. Our county, again, has taken some very bold and commendable leadership in this and taking some responsibility and funding to help build the public side. But we also need to work on those partnerships between our public and our private treatment environment, because Florida not only is home to some of the finest treatment programs out there, some of the programs have been around for decades and have literally created the model that has been so effective for so many thousands of people over the years. So those groups are talking, there's dialogue, people are looking at creative solutions to this because the assets are there. It's just how we coordinate those assets and, again, make sure we're creating the safest, most effective environment for those most in need. And this epidemic, especially these substances that people are coming in with, the synthetic analogs of opiates and opioids, are just so powerful. It's a chemical compound, so we don't even know half the time how strong these things can be. And when you get into numbers of 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times, factor of potency more than their base compound or base substance, that's frightening. And so we need to, again, not only be prepared, but we also have to keep working at this. We have to keep that dialogue, keep changing and keep evolving what we're providing for services and how those services work together. That's going to be critical to this moving forward.
Well, and the thing is insurance plays a major factor. I know that if you're listening, you might be wondering as far as Family Center and how we what we do as far as treatment and access. And yeah, insurance is accepted, I mean, all the major ones. And really, depending on your plan, it may cover up to 100% of your treatment. The other thing too is if somebody doesn't have insurance, you know, we've got other payment options that are available that can be arranged. I know our admissions coordinators can get very creative as far as things that we can do. We have many patients who travel to our Family Center for Recovery from out of state, getting out of the environment that they may be in out of state, their distractions and temptations. So Dr. Moran actively believes that he wants to see people get better. And we are the only 1,500 facilities in the state of Florida that are its owner operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist such as Dr. Moran. So if you are interested and are looking, there are some options. There are some things we have available. Other thoughts regarding access and treatment? We're talking with Micah Robbins, Director of Special Projects at the Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition today.
I think you just mentioned a very important point. There are lots of options. There isn't a one size fits all treatment modality because of all the different things that are happening. What substances are being used? What's the presenting substance? Are there co-occurring mental health issues? I think that's a very important thing, too, because the correlation between mental health issues and substance use disorders is through the roof. So those things, having those conversations and finding the right fit for those for what you need is very important. And I think, Peter, you said it. You have to talk to a variety of different facilities, see what they offer. Not all of them are the same, and that's a good thing. You can find what's going to be the best fit for you. And yes, we do have a huge number of people that come to South Florida for treatment, and they find it successfully, and they integrate into our community. Rough estimates are we have between 60 and 70,000 people in successful long-term recovery here in Palm Beach County. That's an amazing part of our community. And these are folks that have made an incredible change in their lives and have so many things to offer and have just become part of, you know, this dynamic community we have down here. So we need to support that, and we need to have the opportunities for other people to get healthy as well. This is not an imported problem. This is not just a homegrown problem. This is a challenge that everybody faces now. Statistically, that it's almost impossible to find a family that isn't affected by a substance disorder in some way, shape, or form right now. So this is something that affects all of us. These are our friends, our neighbors, our family members, our loved ones. These are our coworkers, our veterans. We have, it's an everybody problem. So, we need an everybody solution to this. So that's why we need to work with all of our treatment providers, our partners, our county and state partners as well, to, keep creating, again, keep creating effective programming and effective solutions to this as it changes and evolves.
And one of the things that I find very interesting and striking is that somebody who is in recovery, once their eyes open up as far as things that are available to them, could be from a creative sense, it could be from the arts, or it could be from standpoint of, okay, what would you really like to do with your life? What would you like to be? The intelligent level is extremely high. And once somebody's given that opportunity to explore different vocations and occupations that they might want to do, they might want to be a carpenter, they might want to be involved in CSI, crime investigation. They might want to be, as far as in our medical profession, as far as nursing or doing something as far as emergency management, dental hygiene. It's endless as far as once somebody's eyes are opened. And they're people that I've met with and talked with that are in recovery, that have relocated out of the environment and have gone on to find a better life and can be very productive in our life. Your thoughts as far as things along these lines, Micah?
I couldn't agree more. This is an us, we versus them issue. These are people. These are loved ones that are suffering with something that has had a tremendous effect on their lives. And once they have the opportunity to get appropriate treatment and have that, again, opportunity to gain their life back, a lot of these substances have kept them hostage. That's exactly what it does. It keeps them hostage. It keeps them a prisoner inside themselves, and it affects themselves and those around them. So when that comes loose and they are able to reengage and really come back to life, it's astounding what can be done. And, you know, the stories are endless for those that have not only turned their lives around but have then gone on to make a huge difference in the lives of others. And that's a great story, not only for someone suffering from a substance use disorder, it's a great story for people in general. And I think that that's what's really important. That's one of the things we focus on at the Coalition as well, is that, you know, we're not talking separation here. We're talking inclusion. This is about everybody. So those that are moving on to their next phase in life, we want to celebrate and support that any way we can. And for those people that have family members that are suffering with this and working through this, be there, be supportive, learn about it, and be a part of that process. I think the family-centered work, I think, is very important right now. It's critical. And how our community embraces this issue, I think, is important as well. It's not somebody else's backyard. It's in our living rooms. It's in our kitchens as we sit around and talk about it. So, you know, this is an everybody issue.
Well, and that's the thing about it is that looking and recognizing that this is a medical condition that somebody has, addiction, and that it affects the brain. It's something that it's like somebody has diabetes, or if they have a certain form of cancer or something like that, it's having somebody to be able to assess and treat and come up with a diagnostic plan that basically addresses this. And that's, I think, what people are starting to really recognize. That, and like Michael was saying, it affects all families in some shape or form, and is becoming more aware as far as society that this is really something that we need to look at and help one another in this particular area. I know we're going to be going to a commercial break here soon, and if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show, and I'm your host, Peter Nathan. And my guest is Micah Robbins. And what we're going to be talking about in our next segment, give you kind of a little bit of a preview, as far as like ways that you can kind of get involved. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that are saying, you know, I'd like to make a difference. And how can I get involved? But before we go to break, I know maybe we could talk about the Coalition that we're involved with. We meet every Tuesday. Why don't you kind of fill our listeners in a little bit about the Coalition and some of the things we do there?
Well, the Coalition, again, it came together as a group of concerned people trying to find creative solutions. And so we convene especially around the treatment, recovery, and prevention issues on substance use. We meet every Tuesday morning at 9:30 at our Coalition offices at 2300 High Ridge Road, Boynton Beach, at the Children's Services Council building. And you can send me an email at micahrobbins@pbcsac.org, and we'll set you up. It's an open invitation. So we have every sector represented, from those not only in the public sector, the private sector, moms, law enforcement, county civic leaders, I mean, everything. And that's what a coalition is all about. It's getting the collective minds of everybody to look at these challenges and how do we find the best solution. So that's one way, and we're going to discuss a few more.
Well, and we're going to break to a commercial message here soon, and we want to thank you for joining us and appreciate making us a part of your Sunday afternoon this Memorial Day weekend. And wherever you are, if it's out at a picnic, out on a boat, or enjoying a volleyball game or softball, we appreciate it. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll be back shortly after our commercial message.
Like the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook to learn more about their mental health service and Addiction Resources Center. Located in Lantana, Florida, the Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers can't. Call anytime, 855-202-4220. We'll be right back.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery. Before little problems become big problems.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more, and it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life, including turning 17.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Well, thank you, and welcome back on this Sunday afternoon, Memorial Day weekend. And you have been listening to the Family Center for Recovery show, and I am your host, Peter Nathan. And joining us here this afternoon has been Micah Robbins. And Micah, I know that there are a lot of people out there that are interested in getting involved. Please, if you could give some insight as to ways that people could get involved.
Well, as we mentioned before, with getting involved with a coalition is one way to do it. The other thing is to be engaged in some of these civic conversations that are happening. Our county commissioners' meetings are obviously public forums. When they're discussing those issues, get involved there. Let your voice be known. Any of your community meetings where this issue is being discussed, get involved. Get information. Ask questions. You know, it's much more helpful to come with questions and seeking knowledge than it is to come with opinions and your own personal view. It really is a dialogue, and I think the more people understand that this is a brain disease, this is, you know, we're dealing with a disease of addiction issue, and we're dealing with a public poisoning issue. Overdoses are nothing more than a poisoning issue, and we're having a poisoning epidemic. And you mentioned what Dr. Moran and his work. I mean, this is a psychiatrist that's been doing this work for decades, and looking at how we are treating this as a disease and how we're treating the patient and the family as a unit. And this is a family disease. You also mentioned diabetes. So we have about 25 to 26 million people that suffer from diabetes in this country. And this is a truly preventable disease for some. For others, it's something that they have to learn and manage for their lives, and it's a challenge that they face. And we want to be 100% supportive of that. Well, the numbers of substance use disorder are eerily similar. We have about 26 to 27 million people suffering from that. Yet because of some of the stigma around substance use, we don't give it the support it needs and treat it, again, as the disease that can be managed and cured for some. But people can manage this issue and live healthy lives without the influence of substances. So we have to make sure we're encouraging people to get a better understanding. And again, we're looking at this as a disease model, and the epidemic, the overdose epidemic, is a poisoning issue. So these are two major health concerns. So take away any moral or social stigma around that. We want to help our fellow citizens that are in need with this. So again, get more information. Again, the coalition's available. We have the Southeast Florida Recovery Advocates, SEFRA. That's a wonderful group out of Broward County, and they work with our coalition. They do fantastic work. The Broward Commission on Substance Abuse is a wonderful coalition in Broward. The Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition here in Palm Beach. Our Heroin Task Force, our Sober Home Task Force, the fantastic work that the entire county here in Palm Beach is doing with this and what we're doing as a region. Reach out. Look at the Palm Beach Post. You may see stories that seem negative, but they are trying to tell a story here. We're trying to change that story as well, that out of all this turmoil and challenge is that we're going to find positive solutions to help people. And so stay informed. Ask questions for our families. This is the traditional start of the summer season. One of the greatest prevention factors out there is spending time with your kids and talking about these issues. Even discussing things as simple as how school has been, all those pressures, all that, those still add to that sense of connection and community in the home, and it can lead to broader discussions that can look at these issues and look at these issues effectively. So this is a great time of year to get out there and celebrate, of course, but it's also a great time to connect and do something really positive, not only with your family, but for the community as well.
I think that's such an important point is that the family, it's the family working as a unit together and their involvement. And somebody else that I know that's very active and is a champion of what we're working on, crafting legislation, is very outspoken, is Melissa McKinley and the work that she's done. And people should, could maybe, in our closing moments here, talk a little bit about Melissa.
She has been a leader and just a tremendous force in this issue. For those that have had a chance to speak with her, to see her and the actions she has taken, and I want to reinforce that she has taken action. She has taken this issue to heart. She has had great courage in this when she didn't have a whole lot of support behind her, and persevering through that, she is outspoken on the issue. She was the leader, along with our mayor, to push through support at the county level to help deal with this issue to the tune of several million dollars that they are allocating out of special funds to deal with the issue. So, again, be supportive of your elected officials that are behind these issues. Also, they're open to dialogue, and they want to talk about this, too. So if there are public forums available, get involved. Go out there and have a conversation with them. But I, you know, personally want to thank Commissioner McKinley on the work that she's done and has been a leader in this, which is, again, what we need.
And for those of you who have joined us on this Sunday afternoon, this Memorial Day, we really appreciate you being with us today and making us a part of your Sunday afternoon. And a big thanks to a good friend of mine, Michael Robbins. I really appreciate you coming in and expressing your views and getting better awareness as far as to our listeners out there. So again, Micah, thank you. I really appreciate being a part of our show today.
This has been the Family Center for Recovery Radio Show. To learn more about the center or to send a link of the show, visit FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Join us next Sunday at noon for the Family Center for Recovery Show.
Kennedy.
President Trump.
He was outraged by this leaked classified information.
But intelligence that is shared must remain secure.
Stay informed.
You just body slammed me and broke my glass.
And for that, I'm sorry.
Sort of a wannabe Trump.
By staying